Here at the In Pursuit of Maximum Yields event in Bettendorf, Iowa, with me is Bill Angstedt, who is Executive Secretary with the Delaware Maryland Agribusiness Association. And he just spoke to the group on, the title of his talk was Growth Frenzy, Food Security, Crop Import Input Resources, and Environmental Stewardship in a Maximum Need World. So first of all, Bill, tell me what you're talking about here when you talk about growth frenzy.
Growth frenzy? Well, in growing sufficient crops for global food security in the face of environmental requirements and regulations and the need to protect the stewardship of the soil and air and water.
One of the first things that you started talking about here, I mean, a lot of this has to do with what consumers want, what consumers are, some consumers at least, are looking for as far as agriculture is concerned and the production of their food, and also what government regulations are looking at. One of the things you talked about, it was maybe having a label on food saying nature not harmed in the growing of this corn. Tell us about that.
Well, there are several initiatives, one called Field to Market, that the food companies had come together, like Coca-Cola, General Mills, Walmart. And what Coca-Cola originally wanted was to be able to put a label on their Coke bottle that says the corn syrup that was used in making this product did not harm the environment, that this would give them a competitive advantage in branding their products to consumers. So those kinds of concepts are out there. There's a ag sustainability effort for fruits and vegetables. Many of the supermarkets, Whole Foods, Wegmans, others, are demanding from their growers of fresh fruits that they meet sustainability labeling requirements. So this is something that is in very many segments and of interest in the food industry right now.
Well, you also talked about Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food initiative by USDA, and really the push here, it seems like, to grow our own food in our backyards, even in where you're talking about in Maryland, being able to have your own chickens and be able to collect your own eggs. What do you think about that whole concept?
Well, the concept that urban farming, the farming within cities, is going to be a solution to the world food security is pretty hard to believe. The concept that, you know, food as a local experience, you know, food sheds, so that if you go out and pick your own strawberries or, you know, go out and meet the pig before it becomes bacon, that this somehow enhances your food experience, it stretches one's imagination.
Now, in your area, of course, you've got a pretty serious challenge to the farmers in your area around the Chesapeake Bay with the TMDL. Explain where we're at as far as that is concerned, how it impacts agriculture in your area, and how with the potential for this to impact farmers and ranchers around the country.
Well, Chesapeake Bay has a total maximum daily limit, which is a numeric number to try to reach by 2025 of nitrogen, phosphorus, and sediment reaching the main stem of the Chesapeake Bay. There then is a regression model that divides this load up among the states, divides it among the tributaries, divides it up among the counties, divides it up among the sectors like agriculture, forestry, urban, point sources. So then you end up with numbers in this regression model that come back to literally a per acre farmland, cropland, a nitrogen phosphorus load limit by county, by tributary. And so how this is going to be measured, how farmers can verify that they're reaching this baseline is where we are right now in trying to discuss this. So this precedent or this public policy of trying to establish when and how do you quantify that a farmer is meeting water quality standards, and how can a farmer verify this as an assurance to EPA is the debate that we're in right now.
Now, this is being challenged by agriculture groups, is it not?
American Farm Bureau and some of the other ag industry groups have filed a federal litigation The first petitions were heard last month, essentially on the basis that the Clean Water Act does not allow EPA to establish this kind of TMDL, that this is really a state's issue, and that EPA cannot compel the states to do this. And whether that's the legal findings will yet to be found.
Well, and a big concern is how, you know, if they can do it there, they can do it anywhere in the country, right? Well, what were your main takeaways to the growers here about how, you know, what farmers should be doing to be better stewards of the land?
Well, farmers to look at reducing their pollutions, that they've already done some things. They're already doing a better job today than they were 5 years ago, whether it's less insecticide use, less tillage, more effective use of nutrients. So the challenge is, how can you improve from there over the next 5 years? And NRCS has come out with a nutrient management standard, their 590 standard, that talks about using the right source of nitrogen, the right rate based on your yield goals, the right placement, and the right timing to get the nitrogen and phosphorus as close to the growing cycle as possible, so it minimizes the loss to the environment. So farmers looking at those 4R nutrient stewardship principles can kind of assess their farms of what can I do better and how can I set a goal or a path to be better 5 years from now than I am today in reducing my pollution imprint.
Well, the question is, I guess, and a lot of these farmers feel, as you said, agriculture, everybody knows, has been under attack. Do you think that it's a matter of, it doesn't matter what we do, people are still going to attack? Or do you think that we can get to a point where people are comfortable, where the government is comfortable, where everybody is comfortable with what farmers do and don't view us as capitalist pollution makers?
Well, I think there's always going to be people, groups attacking farmers. No matter what a farmer does, there's going to be somebody else that says, you have to do more. That's how they, in environmental groups, raise their funds from their members to say, we've got a problem. If it's solved, then they're out of business. So there's always going to be more. You're never going to get to zero discharge with agriculture. So, but I don't think the opposite side of whatever we have to do to defeat the environmental groups, we need to do it. That's just as extreme. What farmers have to look at is, where's the moderation? Where's the reasonableness? Where can we, instead of saying, like many environmental groups, agriculture has to do everything today, is how can we look at, okay, how can we be better in 5 years? How can we be better in 10 years? How do we get from where we are to what the economics and the science and technology let us get to? And that's the path that I hope I left today with them.
Finally, and I heard that you were had a recent appointment by the Secretary of Agriculture. Can you tell me about that?
The Secretary of Agriculture in the Farm Bill has several federal advisory committees that are set up. One of them is the Agricultural Air Quality Task Force. And I was appointed by Secretary Velsic for a two-year term on that, where we advise the secretary. It's chaired by NRCS Chief Dave White. We meet with EPA. We meet with Forestry Service. We meet with other federal agencies to talk about national public policy that affects agriculture and air resource concerns.
Thank you very much. Here at the In Pursuit of Maximum Yields event in Bettendorf, Iowa, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.